Hello and welcome to the Mortgage and Real Estate Podcast by Pinnacle. I'm Chris Giannino. I'm joined here, as usual, with my brother, Pete Giannino. And we also have a very special guest with us today, Lisa Schallwecker with Berkshire Hathaway. Lisa, what's up? How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to have you here. We're here at the Pinnacle headquarters at 2020 Marconi on the Hill across from Milo's and next to St. Ambrose. So every once in a while, we like to have it here or local establishments as well. But it's sometimes nice to be back in Donna Nardo headquarters, which is what my great-grandma's nickname was when she came off the boat in 1914 when she bought this place. So since then, we've renovated it into our Pinnacle headquarters, and Lisa has joined us today. You live in the area, don't you?
I do. I live on Elizabeth.
Okay, so you're on the hill. Perfect.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. We wanted to have you on because you've been having great success in real estate, and there's a lot of people that are hesitant to maybe get into real estate, or they don't know what obstacles they have to overcome. And you know, you were at Spire for 20 years?
25.
25 years. And then you made the transition into real estate. And you've just retired recently. You've managed both jobs for a while, and now you've retired and now you're strictly into real estate. But I think that's a very common avenue or common flow where people are looking to transition into real estate. Sometimes they want to keep it as a part-time job. Sometimes they want to transition into a full-time job. So it's great to have you on to figure out, you know, some steps that you chose or that you took to make that happen. And then we'll dive into that and get into some of those questions. But a little bit more about you. Can you just give us the recap from when you were born? Were you born and raised here in St. Louis, and kids, grandkids? Just give us a little rundown on that.
Okay. I was born and raised here. I actually grew up in Sunset Hills, Missouri. I attended Notre Dame High School. From there, I briefly went to SEMO.
Oh, you're good. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. And then I went to Merrimack. And actually, my goal was to be a surgical nurse.
Cool. Okay.
So I ended up starting out when I was 20 at Grandpa Pigeons, believe it or not. Grandpa Pigeons.
Is that where you were going to do your residency?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That was the best thing.
It was. I mean, you could get Carhartt overalls, coveralls, anything.
Anything. I mean, I think we went in there for fishing lures.
Yes.
And stuff.
Oh, for
fishing.
Sure. I thought that's why it was called Grandpa's.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still don't understand the pigeons part, but
no, but you know, that's why we call it the Grandpa's Only. But the Lee May Ferry location we've been in there more than once.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you probably seen me there. I started out there, and then I went in management for them and traveled around to their different stores helping them set up. And one of my clients was Laclede Gas.
Oh, okay.
So ended up getting to talk with some of the management there, and they asked me if I would be interested in joining Laclede Gas.
Wow.
So I went.
So you got recruited from Grandpa Pigeons.
I did.
That's
believe
amazing.
It or not.
I mean, that's one of the true American
crazy
success stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from there, I went, interviewed, tested, because you know, to get hired on there, you have to take a lot of tests. Anyway, started there in customer service. And from customer service, I went to a department called order control. And that is a department where servicemen, CNM, SAID would call in for locates or to schedule a repair job. From there, I went to drafting in 2007. And I started out at Forest Park. I went to Forest Park from downtown. They actually tore that building down now for IKEA. And I ended up moving back downtown to 700 Market. Huh. And I remained there till I retired December 1st, 2023.
Congratulations. Well, what does drafting mean when it comes to the utility gas company?
So back in the day in 07, we would go out in the field and draw, hand draw, service lines, gas mains, that kind of stuff. Little stick people. I'm kidding. But anyway, pictures of houses. And with that being said, it went from that to a Maximo. So it was digital. And then it went from no longer going out in the field to the C&M guys actually now drawing the sketches. And they send them to us, and we have to approve them or send them back for corrections.
Okay. Is that, I'm sorry if you said that, but is that for new construction or new installations?
All of it.
Yeah.
So they're working here on the hill a lot. They're installing gas mains. It's that. Okay. It's new construction. It's maybe a house that it was all electric and going gas. It's all sorts of scenarios.
Yeah, well, that's a great background for real estate as well. At what point in your career there did you decide, hey, I want to jump in to become a real estate agent?
So about 2 years ago, I was working from home for Spire because COVID hit.
Right.
And I just was not feeling fulfilled, if I could say that.
Along with most other people during COVID.
Yes.
Right. The separation was just a lot.
I decided in 2021, I was going to do something different with my life. Like I said, wasn't feeling fulfilled. I was working from home, not seeing people, not interacting. So I looked up real estate and actually with that started taking classes with Coldwell Banker and did that. The class lasted about a week, but it was from 6 to 10 and you had to be on view of the Zoom. Anyway, so I did that. Took the test and went and interviewed. My cousin works for Berkshire, Mary Kay Gito, and she asked me to come on and interview there. So I did, and that's where it all started.
Awesome. So you were able to make that transition. Like you said, recently you were able to retire. Now you're a full-time real estate agent. You've had great success over the past couple of years. And you know, you've been able to, it sounds like, take a lot of what you used in the corporate world and apply it to real estate. In addition to having the natural gas background and knowing the ins and outs of that, which is crucial, but also the discipline of sticking to a regiment to be successful, because it's very difficult to do. I think that's probably one of the number one challenges in real estate is you're on your own. And if somebody's not telling you to do something, and maybe they are telling you, but they're not requiring anything, you have to take it upon yourself. Can you speak to that a little bit on how, you know, if that has impacted your role in real estate?
It has very much impacted me. As far as my discipline, I got the discipline from reporting to Spire, and I decided I can't slack. I need to carry that over into real estate world, but also not only enjoying everybody I meet, every one of my clients I still remain close to. With that being said, I support me, so I have to look out for me. And that makes me even more driven to push forward, get all the sales I can get. But it's not even just about money. It's about being fulfilled with this job.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, in the Grandpa Pigeons background and in the Spire background, you know, you've had to work for customers and you've had to work for, you know, a large team around you.
Exactly.
And although real estate agents are sometimes not part of a team or on their own, the transaction itself involves many team members, whether you're from the lender, the inspectors, the title company, right?
Exactly. And it's very important to establish good relationships with everybody, your title people, mortgage people.
100%.
You know, we met, I don't know, some time ago through a mutual connection. I'll give a shout out to my uncle-in-law, Dan Dorndorf. And I was impressed from you right from the start. I knew you were going to be a success in real estate. It was very obvious. And so kudos to you making my thoughts turn into reality.
Thank you for having
I put the energy out there. I put the energy out
there. Exactly.
You know, but there, you have to, maybe there's something on my mind. And from Laclede Gas, what's the name? And I'm thinking about the connections between the gas industry and the real estate industry. But first of all, satisfy me. What's the name of that book with all the maps in it?
Oh, God. Really?
You know what I'm talking about? My dad used to work at Laclede Gas, and he carried... You're younger than him, of course, but
I know, and I had to deal with those books. Oh, it's a grid book.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And so he'd say, "Well, just if we had to go somewhere, he'd just get out the grid book to tell us how to get there."
Steve Stanley, he still uses that.
He does, because they're null and void. But I don't see him anymore.
Yeah. And he just trace the route with his finger, essentially. Now you just put it in your phone, right?
Exactly.
Well, I think about the reason I even thought about the grid book. Other than, childhood memories, is that is a display of the St. Louis landscape when it comes to real estate, right? We're not really looking at buildings and homes, but we're looking at all the streets and how to get from here to there.
Exactly.
It's pretty amazing. But obviously, as part of the real estate transaction, one of the common inspections is going to be the gas inspection, right?
It is.
And although probably many times things go well, sometimes they don't. And I worry about inspection items for things we can't see. There's plumbing items, there's electrical items, and there's gas items. That's where we need some extra experience and some experts involved. So, talk a little bit about that. And I know you're not changing pipes down there, but you have some experience and you have some resources too, right?
I do have resources, yes. It's very important to me. I obviously can't push my client to have an inspection, but it is very important that they do. With that being said, one of the things, sewer lateral, that's one that I highly suggest. You can't see what's going on under that ground. And if you end up with a cracked pipe, that could be a very expensive repair. As far as gas, I haven't come across much gas work that needed to be done, anti-tip devices, mm-hmm. Maybe changing some copper, putting copper in. But other than that, electrical, the boards, a lot of boards in those older homes, have to be swapped out.
Well, now Spire does the inspections where they change out your meter. So it's these periodical inspections where, especially if you have a meter inside your house, they check it. And if there's any droppage on the manometer, then they basically shut your gas off and say, all right, you have a leak somewhere in your house. We're going to shut your gas off if you don't mind until you figure out how to fix it. And it could very well happen on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock when your wife leaves town or your husband.
Speaking from experience. And by the way, I just want to acknowledge the first time the word manometer has been said on this podcast. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what an amazing measuring device, because we use the regular device to measure any pressure leakage and it showed nothing, but you put a manometer on it, a water manometer, and all of a sudden the thing drops like an anchor. So,
listen to this guy go.
Dan, again, a resource. But if you have those connections in Euclid or people at Spire, whatnot, it really helps to locate those leaks, because it's not very easy. So in our case, we went without hot water for a week, and I didn't mind because we did the cold baths.
You're
Tony
used to
Robbins
the cold
style.
Showers. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of nice.
I hate cold showers. You should have called me.
Whoa. It's like a family show.
You know who actually helped us? Dan.
Okay.
Dan came over and Dan's like, we're just going to take all these apart, put them together. So we got to the bottom of it. But it's you don't think about it much until it affects you. So the gas is a big, big part of it. And it's great to have your background on it. And you had mentioned something before when we were talking about, for example, let's just get specific. What time did you start your day at Spire?
7 a.m.
Start at 7 a.m. And then what time did you end it typically?
3:45.
And you had mentioned that, you know, you don't miss training. You stuck to those same hours of work. Now, starting at 7, I could see that. But obviously in real estate, it probably doesn't end at 3.
No, it does not.
Right.
I will have someone call me at 8 o'clock at night and want to go see a house. And it might not be in an area I should go by myself, but I'll say, Tommy, come on, we got to go. Let's go.
And Tommy's your bodyguard.
House. Yes. Right? Yes. So,
and Tommy Gunn.
Yes. And we ended up writing an offer on that house.
That's
and getting
that's
it
good.
Accepted.
Your availability and flexibility is going to take you a long way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think it is? You mentioned some lack of fulfillment, and you know, you're not alone in that regard. It's interesting, the people we talk to, particularly in real estate and various disciplines of real estate, seem to be attracted to this industry when they are experiencing some lack of fulfillment. And you know, you're in good company there. You know, I've gotten into real estate after you know, being kind of devoted solely to the legal practice. Mm-hmm. And so can you speak to what it is that might attract you or others to this industry?
I just like getting to know my clients, and I get to know them on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And they, honestly, I feel like they become family to me. So they're calling me all the time if they have an issue, and I like knowing that I am there to either, if I don't know the answer, figure it out or help them fix it. So, and that could be a wide array of things, but I'll give you a scenario right here. So I had and you're going to laugh at this. I had a client, 79 years old, and I was helping him buy a house. Now he had inherited some money, and he lived not in the best part of town. So I helped him find a house. And when he turned 80, we hadn't closed yet. And he did not have email either. So or a computer. I had to take these documents to him and meet him every time at Starbucks. So,
been there.
Yeah. For his 80th birthday, I took him to Guido's to celebrate his birthday.
Heck yeah.
And he wanted pizza so bad, and he got this little pizza. So he just had another birthday, turned 81. I drove over to his house. I'm thinking I'm getting the best gift for him. Oh, geez. So I get there.
Where's my pizza?
Little gift bag, little cupcake. And he opens up the gift, and he goes, I hate soccer. I got him a St. Louis City soccer shirt.
Oh,
and he's
my
like,
goodness.
I hate soccer. And I'm like, oh, geez.
Blocked.
He goes, I like Cardinals or Battlehawks.
One and done.
I said, okay, I will replace that, but you keep that anyway.
Oh my
so
goodness.
I just keep constant contact with them.
Well, that story is great, and it does demonstrate where that fulfillment might come from. It's those connections with people, you know. It's a different job, a different job than any other, because the 7 a.m. and the 8 p.m. opportunities are there, and they're not a hassle. That's the hustle, and
exactly.
That's what's fun about it.
It's
right?
not a hassle to me.
Yeah, that's the excitement.
Well, clearly you established great rapport with them, because it takes strong rapport to be able to tell somebody that you hate the gift that they
give. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then I spent time. He got this tablet, so he finally just now got an email. He's like, I don't know how to use this damn tablet. Yes. So anyway, I'm playing on this tablet and I'm showing him. He's like, can you write those instructions down for me? So then I spent time writing instructions down how to use the tablet
for
him.
And that's where you draw the line.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
This is it.
I'm like, I gotta go.
This is it, David.
Listen, you didn't like my gift. I didn't bring Guido's.
Right.
Just get out of here.
And now you want me to be your IT company.
Right.
Yeah. Well, all right. So what do you say to somebody who is saying, you know, I would like... I think the fulfillment thing is amazing, because it is one of those businesses where you have face-to-face interaction and you really get to know people, and it's a stressful transaction, but it's also a very gratifying transaction at the end of it. So what do you say to somebody who is like, yeah, I would like to get into that, but I'm too old to do that. Or I've been working in the gas company my whole life. I can't just switch jobs. How would I possibly make that transition into my full-time salary job, into a 100% commission job in the line of work that I'm not even in? Like, what do you say to somebody who would like to do it, but just can't really get themselves to pull the trigger, because it always comes down to making that first step?
It's funny that you say that. I have had someone from Spire just call me, and she's like, I want to talk to you. She's not happy either at her job there. And she's like, I'm really thinking about going into real estate. And I said, well, you got the personality for it. I said, do it. Don't think about it. Do it. Take action. Take that class. But I will tell you, people think it's an easy job, and it's not. Sometimes we have to act like a lawyer. Sometimes we have to act like a surveyor. We take on all sorts of roles. And I told her that. But she's got the personality. And all I can tell you is, do not think about it. Do not procrastinate. Just do it. You will be so happy you made that choice.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great advice. How for you, were you hesitant when you did, or did you just, how did you make that first step? I guess the first step is you got to take 72 hours of class.
Right. And I wasn't scared to take the class. Once I completed that and I had to go take that national test and the state test, then I got nervous. And then once I got my, passed the test and went to Berkshire, I thought, they're not going to hire me. They're not going to like me. I didn't know. I was clueless going in, but, I really like the camaraderie around all the other agents, that we support one another. And that's what I like. And I also like I said, everybody I meet, I just think you got to do it. If you're interested in doing it, do it.
Well, and you had some success. I mean, clearly over the past couple of years, you've done several million dollars worth of business each year. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? You weren't in the business of sales or networking necessarily. What steps did you take to establish those connections to get people to trust you at the beginning of your real estate career? And then, it takes a lot. It takes persistence. That's for sure.
And most definitely.
I know you had several stories on persistence, but
courage.
How did you generate business right off the bat? Because a lot of people will also question themselves, like, all right, maybe I will get into real estate, but I'm still contemplating on whether I should jump on a team or if I should go on my own. There's obviously pluses and minuses to both. In your case, you chose to be on your own and not to join a team. You do have the backing of Berkshire, but you are on your own. So what did you do at the beginning to establish trust and get business? And why did you decide to go on your own as opposed to joining a team?
Well, with deciding to go on my own, honestly, I didn't even know if I could join a team. I was new to this. I did not even know what teams pertain to. Mm-hmm. So, as far as getting the business, I am all over social media. I post everything I do. And my very first sale was a friend of mine whose son was looking for a house. And I met with them, started showing them house after house after house. You know, you're not going to find that house on the first showing. So you show a lot.
Right.
And I just established a rapport with them. I ended up, I guess my understanding of what they wanted, my attention to detail, me paying attention to what they were saying is huge. So I did that. And in fact, to this day, I went to their baby shower. I was at their wedding. I have established a relationship with them. And I post that. I let people know, and they've talked about it. They since have referred me to people.
I love that. You know, you said two things. I mean, you said more than two things.
Yeah.
You said two things that I hooked on to particularly, but social media, you are very active on social media and largely in the real estate context, very valuable. And two, you said with respect to your clients that you pay attention to what they're saying. I love that phrase. And, you know, it goes a long way because oftentimes we listen.
Right.
And act the way we want to act as listeners instead of acting in the manner in which the person talking to us is seeking.
Exactly.
And for you to even recognize the importance of that is mm-hmm. extremely valuable. I mean, those are two bullet points by themselves. You could almost, that's a recipe right there for initial success. Listen to what the people that are responding to you are saying and advertise for yourself on social media.
And you know, when I get these young clients, I think of them as if they were my kids, and I know yeah. how I would want my kids to be treated and taken care of. So that's, I just go with that frame of mind, and that's how I carry forward.
Now, if they're older than you, do you still use that same?
Then she buys bad gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's one thing to listen and very difficult. To listen properly and really figure out what they're telling you to find the right place, the right location. But you also joined at a time in real estate that is unprecedented when it comes to competition when trying to purchase a home. So that's a whole other side of it. Yeah, I know what you want, but can you get it? I mean, I've ran into buyers that just simply with their mentality and maybe their representation seems like it's going to be extremely difficult for them to ever get an accepted contract in this particular market because it takes, you got to work the system a little bit.
Exactly.
You have to establish strong relationships with the listing agent. You have to ask the right questions. You have to do a lot of things ahead of time that Pete and I assist with on the lending side as well. But after you figure out what they want, how are you getting them under contract?
So there have been times where I've written for one client six different offers and they did not get accepted.
Common.
Exactly. And I would see them getting frustrated and angry. And I said to them, I go, you let me do that stressing. You just be patient. The right one will come. And it's just different things I've done to get their offers accepted. Because I can tell you, the things that you think sometimes are going to work do not work. I just wrote an offer cash and 20,000 over. Nope. You think cash is king?
We think financing is.
I know. I know.
No, you're right, though. It's not. It's not all that it used to be.
And I wrote an offer 40,000 over financing. He didn't get it. Because of inspections, sellers are not wanting to deal with them. So I typically, as far as an inspection, I will talk with them and I'll throw out there, you can do inspections for buyer's knowledge only, not ask for any repairs. But that gives them the out if they need to walk away, if they deem a repair too expensive.
Yeah.
I've done that. That's gotten accepted. Cash. And some that weren't even over got accepted. One time I showed the Gilman Brothers house in the city, and it had snowed. And this was my friend from high school's dad. So he's 84 or 5. And I pull up. It had just snowed the night before. And he is out there shoveling the sidewalk, the porch, and he's 86 years old. So the agent called me and he's like, how does it look out there? And I go, oh, it looks great now. I said, my client just shoveled your sidewalk and the front porch and salted it.
Oh my.
He ended up I got his contract accepted.
Yeah, that's a little used technique.
Yeah.
Smart. Well, I think, how do you handle the, I think in order, you know, in this market now, to have a successful and to have a transaction where people are content at the end, a lot of it has to do with managing expectations up front. Do you have a conversation with them up front on the market and what to expect and about frustrations and we might write a few offers.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. And just like I said, let me do the stressing for you. You know, don't get worked up.
It's a process.
Exactly. The right one will come along. And when it's the right one, it'll be your offer will get accepted, period.
Yeah. And if you're going to finance it, be prepared on your financing. Make it so that
you could
consider eliminating the financing contingency.
Exactly.
You know?
Get that through underwriting.
Get everything done up front. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, one of the benefits to entering the industry at the time you did is that you don't have to do it the same old way. In fact, you don't even know what the old way is.
I don't.
And
that's
so
huge. It helps.
People who are dedicated to the old way, whatever that means, are going to lose some opportunities. You know, you have to be agile. Mm-hmm. I think the word agile comes up in our
SAP.
SAP. Yeah, exactly. The SAP method. You'll listen to some of our old podcasts and be familiar with the SAP method, but you know, you have to be prepared.
Exactly.
And so by entering now, you don't have bad habits. The habits you are taking are the habits you had from your last industry, which is, you know, waking up early.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Attention to detail.
I'm not changing that.
That's
good. Not changing.
What's your network like? I mean, are you a St. Louis girl or what's your best?
I just sold a house in Bon Terre.
Right on. Okay. So you can go some places.
Yes. I do not mind driving. Look, to me, when I drive that far, it's just a chill time, me time. Just kind of
nothing wrong with the drive, right?
Exactly.
And did you grew up here?
I did.
Okay, so you got to deal with some of the St. Louis, other than the Grandpa Pigeons. I mean, where'd you go to high school?
Notre Dame.
All right, so you got some
Rebel.
You got some South Side connections.
Yes.
I like that. Like that very much. And do you think? I know you're getting stuff through word of mouth at this point and through social media, but was your network established through your sphere at the time and, you know, your background here?
Yeah, some of it.
Yeah.
I did originally also sign up with a Op City. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but
I don't know that one, but I was curious. That's what I was getting at.
Yes.
Do you use any resources?
Yes. Yeah. So I actually, you start out with the crap of the crap, the low of the low. And my first sale, which I got the lowest sale of the company, $9,000.
Your awards are piling up.
Yes. Oh boy. Anyway, but he came back and bought another house from me, $21,000.
Okay.
He buys those dilapidated buildings and redoes them.
Yeah.
But I actually have now since closed on 13 properties for them.
Wow.
Yeah. And so now I'm getting the higher echelon of deals.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great success story, and persistence, of course, paid off there. And not taking anything
for
granted.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah, and
I'll go anywhere. I'm not afraid.
You did a 4-figure deal, and now you're doing 7-figure deals. You know,
yeah.
So that's amazing. If you can add 3 more figures to your deals, that's success.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You shared a story off the air that I just want to talk about, because I think it's just, I love these stories. And you know, you talked briefly about a connection you were really proud of in terms of a couple from Texas. Could you tell us about, just share that story here on the mic?
Sure. So I have a friend that lives in Houston, and she has a friend whose son was getting transferred here for a job, Boeing. He's an engineer. So with that being said, she asked me, could I help them find a place to rent? Now, this was my first time ever helping somebody rent, but I didn't care that I was not making anything off of it. It was a learning experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I found them a house to rent in South City off the Macklin Mile, and they love it. And they had called me up probably about 7 months later and said that there was a house on the same street across from them, directly across from them, that was coming soon. So I decided to drive by. I took the phone number off the sign. It was agent owned. And I called them and I said, is there any way I can get my clients in to view this property? And he said, well, we're still in renovating some stuff. He said, so it's just not time. So I literally would call him every week, once a week. And he finally said, damn, you're persistent, girl. He said, I'm going to let you in. So he let us in. He did say I had to make that offer worth his while, though.
Right.
So we went in. They fell in love. We wrote the offer. Only $5,000 over. And so it got accepted, and they are so happy there now.
So they ended up buying and not renting.
Exactly. Well, they rented it first.
Okay.
For at least 7 months, and that's when they came to me.
Even better story in that regard, because you accepted the situation of lack of compensation.
Right.
Delayed gratification pays off.
Yeah.
You just help someone for the sake of it.
Exactly.
That's
like
amazing.
That book, The Go-Giver.
Yes.
Yes.
I
just read that.
We're big fans of that book. Yeah. For sure. So you've been in just those last few stories. And I know you were in Fenton earlier. So you've been in Fenton, Bonterre, Webster, Southside. Yeah. There's nowhere
Pacific,
you won't go.
Pacific, Robertsville. I go anywhere. Lake St. Louis, Wentzville, Troy. I showed one couple. They wanted acreage. We started out by Bonterre, and we ended up in Troy, Missouri, buying a house. So I went from one end to the other.
No way. And are you getting to all these places without the grid book?
Oh, of course. My phone.
The new grid book.
Yeah.
The new grid book. Google Maps. That's great. Great stuff. So, I can't help but notice you on social media. So I have to recognize, I know you are being acknowledged in the next couple of months and as a result of your recent success in real estate. So just give that a little plug.
Okay. I just want to say, first off, my first year, I got Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
I was told that most agents their first year don't even sell one house. They might sell one house. They most likely don't. I had 13 transactions, and I got Rookie of the Year. Then this year, I ended up getting Honor Society, and I am in the top 14% nationwide for Berkshire. I sold 18 units, and I made $4.5 million for them.
Wow. Rookie no more, girl.
No.
Heck yes. Well done. I'd press the clap button, but I'm scared it might be a different button.
Yeah. We had a button faux pas recently, and it actually was the perfect. It turned out to be more perfect. It turned out to be more perfect than we expected. But there.
Delayed. I can only go up now.
Yes. Well, you have achieved a lot in a short time. And if I know you, like I think I do, and hopefully people can after this, you're not going to be satisfied with where you're at. So you're going to keep striving.
I will. I have to.
Yeah. I love it. Well, you've been amazing to talk to, and I hope you had fun.
I did.
And you're down the street, so
I know.
Get your ass off Hall of Fame Avenue sometime and come up here and talk to us.
Exactly, I will. Nice. I'll be here often.
Please.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Lisa Schallwecker with Berkshire Hathaway. Thanks again. We look forward to our next meeting for sure.
Thank you.